Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning. We've got a little bit of a different morning than our usual schedule in mind. There will be a little bit of a program after the message. We'll have our announcements this morning right after the congregational singing. And then after the program is completed, there also is a lunch being served, a Thanksgiving lunch, and each and every one of you is invited to stay for that as well. For an opening scripture passage, I'd like to read one verse out of Psalm 116, verse 17, where the psalmist says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." You know, on our calendars, last weekend was Thanksgiving weekend, and that is often not the best time to have a Thanksgiving program. And this Sunday, the committee has put together a program and a service, and we want to honor and praise God for his goodness. But before we go on, let us open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for the dawn of a beautiful fall day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters in the Lord and to sing your praises, to worship you, to honor you, and to glorify you as we are gathered here today. And Lord, we thank you for your presence through your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will touch each heart that is gathered here. I pray, Lord, that I will be open to your Spirit's leading as I deliver the message this morning. I pray, Lord, for each one that has a part in the program after the morning service. I pray, Lord, for our country, that we may continue to enjoy the freedom that we have to honor you and glorify you and to worship in this way. And we pray, Lord, that our leaders will look to you for wisdom and discernment. Lord, we pray for the unrest that is in the world, the wars and the famines and so on, Lord. May you in some divine way intervene, and may people turn to you to look for the ultimate peace that each of us desires. And Lord, I pray that you'll plant a hedge of protection around us, ward off Satan and his forces that so often want to distract us and take our focus away from you. Lord, we thank you for everyone that has come. May you bless us and make us a blessing, we pray in your holy name. Amen. This time we'll have two congregational songs, please.
Take the blue book and turn to number 34, How Great Thou Art. Number 34.
I hear that. 16, count your blessings. Will we stand, please?
Good morning. Yeah, if we were to count all our blessings, how many would we have? I think we could count forever to count all our blessings. Just for announcements this morning, we are planning to start Seniors Bible Study October 19th at 2 p.m. in the church dining room. The plan is to meet twice a month on the first and the third Thursday to study God's Word. All seniors are welcome and encouraged to attend. For further information, please call Pastor Art, and his phone number is here in the bulletin for anybody who's interested. And then just a reminder, And to pray for is our annual membership meeting is coming up October 24th. And take note, it's at 7 instead of 7:30, it's at 7. So there's been some changes made. And as you can see already in the there's an insert in your bulletin. So that's for the Gleaners, October 28th. That's just for information. And also, we're planning on doing a new church pictorial directory. So this is in the works. This is it's exciting. It's been a while since we've done this. So this is being planned. And we're going to do some photo sessions. They're going to be done here, the church dining room. Photo sessions are October 25th to the 28th and October 30th to November 4th. So please sign up. So there'll be a sign-up sheet in back for you there. And then there is some information, I believe, in the bulletin already about this. So for contact is Agatha Clausen, and her phone number is in there. And there's also Sarah Redicop. That information will be updated in the bulletin for next time. Encouraging all church members and all those who attend here regularly to sign up. Your opportunity to get your Christmas greeting cards in time for Christmas. So it's not just a directory, but if you want to have a family photo for Christmas, here's a great opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you for leading us in singing to the group that led us. Thank you for your participation. Hearty singing always sets a beautiful tone for God's message on a Sunday morning. Our opening scripture passage I read out of Psalm 116, verse 17, where the psalmist says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." A thought that might come to our mind might be, what is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? When we think of giving thanks, we regard it as something done when things are good, a full stomach, a warm house, a loving family. But in reality, is this the biblical understanding of thanksgiving? Is it something we do out of the overflow of all the good that we have? Throughout Scripture, we will find that giving thanks is described as a sacrifice. A sacrifice is a thing that costs. When the Old Testament Jews would take sacrifices to the temple, it was a sacrifice of something important to them. It was not a light matter to sacrifice to God. It took preparation, it took time, effort, money, and often ended in the loss of something that could have otherwise been used for personal gain. So if thanksgiving then is described as a sacrifice, then biblical thanksgiving does cost. It isn't an overflow of the extra. It is important, we are not required to sacrifice animals at an altar, but as God's children, it is important for us to be thankful and to give thanks often. We have been blessed abundantly. We have been given much. The daily provision of breath and the very existence that you and I have is something to be grateful and thankful for. And above all, that we have salvation through Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his return to heaven, that he paid for your sin and my sin, that is definitely worthy of sacrificing I, me, and myself. So the question would come, if true thanksgiving is a sacrifice, what are you and I sacrificing? Do we sacrifice our complaints? You know, just yesterday I had a conversation and we talked about Thanksgiving weekend. And we talked about how we sometimes are dissatisfied, we complain. And we came to the conclusion, maybe it is because we are so abundantly blessed. We live in such a rich country that we often take for granted the things that others would desire to have. And therefore, we often complain or are not content. It is important to sacrifice our complaints, to rather praise God for what we have. It is good, and it is one thing to be aware of a situation that is not right and then to do our best to correct it. But it is another thing to grow bitter about something that you or I cannot change. It is never good to be complacent. And many times God places his children in situations that they maybe don't want to be in, and he does this in order to grow you and me spiritually and to help us mature in our faith. If discontentment is our response to the will of God, then we have no room in our hearts for true thanksgiving. We need to realize we don't have a right to complain about things that God himself ordained for our ultimate benefit and for his glory. Instead, let's give thanks that he cares enough to strengthen us in our spiritual walk. True thankfulness requires that we sacrifice our fears. If God feeds the sparrows and clothes the flowers, as you read in Matthew 6, 26 to 34, do you and I really have a right to live in distress? Yes, there are times when concern is appropriate, and it is foolish to go through life and live in a fantasy that everything is going to be sunshine and rainbows. But to live as if everything could be lost at any moment is, in a sense, an insult to God. He has said that he is the protector of his children. We have no right or we have no reason to live as if he is too weak to control our situation. We want to sacrifice our wants. And this is a tough one, I'm sure, for most of us. We all have things we want to achieve, and most of the time these things are good things, whether it's wealth, good health, security, all these things can be beneficial in our lives. But all too often, these desires can become a distraction from God's provision and his will for your life and my life. When we set our hearts on something other than God, we are in a sense saying that God is not enough for us. We have lost sight of who he really is and how much we really need him. How can we have thankful hearts when we're dwelling on something that we don't have? True thankfulness requires that we sacrifice our wants. What is truly needed is an eternal perspective. Think on this. God, the one who is completely satisfied in himself and had no need of us at all, he came from heaven to love on us, to rescue us from being eternally condemned. Not only that, but every day we are surrounded by evidence of his grace, of his mercy, and of his love. And we are promised of being made like Jesus Christ. When our physical bodies die, we're able to live in the presence of God without a barrier to our mediator, Jesus Christ. Suddenly, we will notice when our focus is right that the cares and concerns of our daily life, they shrink. When our eyes are fully open to God's provision, both for our earthly needs and our eternal lives, our complaints, our fears, and selfish wants become trivial. In Psalm 107 and verse 8, the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." You know, to praise God is appropriate at all times. And the psalmist obviously had individuals in his life that were not grateful or thankful. And he has this desire that we as a people would praise God for his goodness. And as I mentioned earlier, his goodness, his love was so deep that he left a perfect place. He left the splendor of heaven to come into this world and to die a cruel sacrificial death on the cross so that he could redeem each and every one of us. That in and of itself should put praise in our hearts and on our lips. When I think of gratefulness or thankfulness, the story in Luke 17, verse 11 to 19, where there's 10 lepers that cry out to Jesus, and they ask for healing. And the practice in Jesus' day was, if a leper thought he was healed of his disease, he needed to show himself to the priest who could declare him clean. And Jesus doesn't say, be healed, but he says, go and show yourself to the priests. And on their way, they realize that they are healed. And out of the 10, only one returns to praise Jesus. And the interesting thing is, the one that came to give thanks was a Samaritan. And you know, the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. The Jews would literally walk out of their way to avoid to come within a certain radius of a Samaritan. The Samaritans were viewed as a half-breed of people, and they felt the Samaritans had no value. And when Jesus shared this story, he knew the group he was talking to, and he proved to them how the Samaritans were grateful for God's love. And are we sometimes, like the Jews, sort of taking for granted the many blessings that God has showered upon us? We take for granted the spiritual healing that the Lord has provided through his death, through his resurrection. Are we grateful? Are you and I of the 10% that give thanks? Or are we of the 90 that take for granted the blessings God has given us? How excited are you and I about the salvation that we have today? In the book of Mark, in chapter 1, in verse 40 to 45, we read, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." You know, we can only imagine to be healed from a disease that ostracized you, a disease where you could not be close to family and friends. Leprosy in this day was not fully understood, and it was thought as being contagious. So no one wanted to be close to them. Now to be healed and to be able to rejoin your family, your loved ones, to be back in your community, and the many other things that we often take for granted, he did not keep quiet. When he realized his healing that Jesus had given him, he went out, and despite of what Jesus had asked him, don't spread this around, He tells us he blazed it about. He published it much. He couldn't contain himself but share of his healing. You know, that was physical healing. Do you and I realize fully what we have been healed from spiritually? Before we accepted the gift of salvation, before Jesus, we accepted Jesus and the gift that he holds out to us, we were on our way to hell, a horrible place. We should also be willing to blaze about, to spread out what Christ has done for us. But I know I'm as guilty as anyone. So often, it is so easy to just sort of be a recluse, and when certain subjects come up, just sort of keep our mouths closed and not say a whole lot about the faith that lives deep within us. Let's be of those that praise Christ, that bring honor and glory to him, not just with our lips, but also in how we live life. In 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 9, Peter writes, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know, here Peter gives us four reasons to be thankful. We are a chosen generation. You know, have you ever considered being chosen by Jesus himself? How special that is. It brings to mind back when I was in elementary school in the village of Osterwick, where I grew up, and at recess or at noon hour when we wanted to play baseball, I don't totally remember how two captains were chosen, and then we'd all sort of stand around and wait for each captain to take turns choosing a person to be on his team. And if you're one of the first ones chosen, that sort of boosted your esteem and just gave you that extra comfort of knowing you were liked and accepted. But if you were the last one to be chosen, that didn't always feel that great. You sort of had this thought in yourself, well, he's taken me because he's got no other choice. But you know, in the eyes of Christ, you and I, each of us, are the first one chosen. Christ chose you and me back before we were conceived. He already knew we would come into this world. He chose us to be his child. We have the opportunity to accept that gift and to follow him, or we have the free will of man to turn away and choose the path that leads to eternal damnation. But let's be one of those that realize we are chosen. We are a part of his generation. We are a royal priesthood. A priesthood is something you don't earn. It's not something you receive as a reward, but a royal priesthood is something we are born into. You know, and as a Christian, we often refer to the day we accepted Christ as the day I was born again. And when we were born again, we were born into this royal priesthood. We are part of God's family. We're a holy nation. You know, even though only about 6% of the people across America are Christians, God calls us a holy nation. He is looking out for us. You know, in the way we are blessed in this country of ours, can we even begin to imagine how much greater the blessings could be and how much greater an influence we could have if each of us but would win one person to Christ, and then that person would share the gospel, and another person would come to Christ. And as the list would go on, it's sort of a pyramid effect. The whole nation could be converted. And we are a peculiar people. We are set apart. We're not just the average, everyday, run-of-the-mill individual. We are someone that God loves and has set apart to serve him, and each of us serves him in a different capacity. Each of us is important in the eyes of the Lord. And that is why we should shew forth the praises. That is why we set aside a Sunday like today to praise and honor and glorify God. It is appropriate to do this, but it is appropriate to do this every day of our lives. For it says in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a wonderful privilege you and I have. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 1 and in verse 12, we read, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, to be privileged to be a child of God, to be privileged to inherit eternity in heaven, which Jesus is preparing for us, it is a special privilege that deserves our praise. And then just a few verses further in chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 15, and that the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, throughout Scripture, we could probably go on for a long time how many verses and how often we are encouraged to be thankful. You know, and when we learn to be thankful, when we learn to appreciate the things God has blessed us with, then discontentment sort of goes out the window. Then we become a contented individual. We become an individual that is at peace. We are someone that others like to be around. They like to be our friend, and we in turn are their friends. And you know, we do need each other as brothers and sisters, as Christians, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to remain strong and steadfast. Because the reality is, there is challenges in life. And if we have a friend that we know will pray for us, that will emotionally encourage us and support us, and the list goes on, these are things that are priceless. These are things that have eternal value, and we should never, ever not praise the Lord for the blessing of friends. Why are we to give thanks? First of all, it pleases the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. You know, as I started off this morning, to give thanks is appropriate. And often hard things come into our lives to grow us and mature us spiritually. You know, sometimes it seems a little not quite right to thank God for, may it be an illness, or may it be the loss of someone that is dear to us and she or he has passed on into eternity. It is easy to give thanks for the good things, but it is not that easy to give thanks when things are difficult. And yet, very often, when we're grateful and thankful, even during difficult times, it instills an inner peace and an inner joy despite what is happening to us or what is going on around us. It pleases God when we are grateful and thankful in all circumstances. In the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 15, and in verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, the best sacrifice that we can give to the Lord is a sacrifice of obedience, to follow him when he calls us, to serve him in whatever capacity we are enabled to serve him. He is much more pleased with a life of obedience than to praise him openly with our mouth a few times a year and then sort of take the rest of the time for granted. As I said earlier, as appropriate as it is to set aside some time to praise him, but obedience is the best praise we can bring to God. When we give thanks, it expresses our gratitude. In the book of Luke chapter 17, we before looked at the story of the 10 lepers. Only one expressed gratitude. The question we might ask is, are we any different? And when we express gratitude and when we give thanks, it is an encouragement to others around us as well. And we're called to be encouragers. In Hebrews, in chapter 10 and verse 24, we read, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You know, in other words, be an encouragement to those around you, to provoke, to love others, to love the Lord, to live for Him, and to show it, make it evident that we are in a relationship with Christ by our good works or the life that we live. You know, the good works, they're great, but they are not our salvation. But they do reveal what has happened in the depths of your heart and my heart. And when we're thankful, it's something that is contagious to others, and others become thankful as well. When we're thankful, it produces contentment. In 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 8, Timothy, or Paul writes to Timothy and he says, But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So when we're grateful and thankful, we in a sense are the richest individual around. We might not be rich monetarily wise, we might not have many things, but God's word teaches us when we are content, we are rich. We have great gain. You know, it is interesting to sometimes see that people that are well-to-do are not always content people. Some are, but there's those that are not. They always seemingly want more. And it's not wrong to have things, but contentment, if that goes out the window for the sake of trying to attain more in life, then we've robbed ourselves short, and we are not trusting the Lord, and we're not praising Him for the blessings that He has given us. When we give thanks, we portray Jesus Himself. Jesus, He was grateful and thankful, even if things were not always easy for Him. In Luke 10, verse 21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." You know, Jesus was thankful. He gave thanks many times in His life. When we follow His example and are thankful and grateful, we reflect the life of Jesus. In John 11, in the last part of verse 41, we see where Jesus says, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me." You know, we can always be confident of knowing the Lord has heard our prayers. He will answer according to what is best for us. Let's be thankful. Let's follow the example of Christ to know God hears, and let's be thankful and continue to trust that all will be well. In Matthew 5, verse 16, a familiar verse where we're encouraged to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are called to exemplify the life of Jesus. You and I might be the closest thing to Jesus that some people will see. What kind of light are we shining on them? What are we portraying? When we meet up with strangers that maybe have no faith, never heard of the love of Christ, do they feel love? Do they feel deep, genuine concern? So to bring honor and praise to God, when we're obedient and following His example, it honors and glorifies Him. Then I'd like to read one more passage out of Psalm 103, verse 1 to the first part of verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So let's never take for granted nor forget the benefits, the blessings that God has given us. He forgives all our iniquities. All sin is wiped away. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from hell or from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things. How beautiful it is to praise the God that provides everything for us, especially salvation, so full and so free. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you shower upon us. Thank you, Lord, for salvation so full and so free. Thank you for empowering us to live for you, to be that shining light in a dark world. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning, and we look to you for strength and courage to continue on. We praise you, we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. At this time, I'd like to give the opportunity for all those that are able to kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. We at this time want to recognize three retirees that have served in our Winkler Church for some time. And some thoughts that have come to mind is, what does God's word say about retirement? You won't find it in the Bible. It's not there. But it doesn't mention that we should stop working. And that doesn't mean we don't need to work or do things for the Lord until the day we die. But the type of work we do will change as we go on in life, even after retirement from a certain position. Remember very distinctly some years ago when my father-in-law had retired from the ministry in our church, and sometime after he had retired, I met up with one of my uncles who had known him through the coffee shop. And we got to talking, and he says, you know what, your father-in-law, he's not retired. Oh, I said, I thought he was. He says, you know, when there's spiritual talk in the coffee shop, he so often shares his knowledge and his love for the Lord with others. So the influence that you folks have after we have officially retired is still important and vital in life. And at this time, I'd like to invite up Walter and Elvira Funk, Pete and Sharon Fraze, and Irvin and Agatha Dick, and we want to present them with a plaque for their time of service. If you want to come up on stage, that would be appreciated. Maybe face the folks in front of you. We want to thank you for your years of service to God's ministry and his people. You have been a blessing, and may God bless you in your retirement, and may you know that your ministry was an inspiration to everyone. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for these willing servants. We thank you, Lord, for the years that they dedicated of themselves to serving you in the capacity as pastor and as deacons. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, they have been a blessing to us, and I'll bless them in their retirement. Lord, grant them peace and contentment. May you provide for them good health and a richness of life that comes from knowing you as our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Comforter. This we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've ordered some plaques, and I'll just read the plaques so everyone knows what it says on them. And there's their names on top, and then it says, in recognition of your faithful and dedicated service, willing spirit, and labor of love, you're an inspiration and a blessing to us. And then the scripture verse, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31. At this time, we'll give our service to the program committee. They've put together a program, and I trust that we will all be blessed and encouraged by it. Please.
Here for. This one's on too. Oh, there goes. On behalf of the program committee, welcome. I have a story I'm going to read. It's called Tommy's Prayer. In a dark and dismal alley where the sunshine never comes, dwelt a little lad named Tommy, sickly, delicate, and lame. He had never yet been healthy, but had been lame since he was born, dragging out his weak existence while nigh hopeless and forlorn. He was six, was little Tommy, and was just 5 years ago since his drunken mother dropped him and his back was crippled so. He had never known the comfort of a mother's tender care, but her cruel blows and curses made the pain far worse to bear. 'Twas a quiet summer's evening, and the alley, too, was still. Little Tommy's heart was sinking, and he felt so lonesome, till, floating up the quiet alley, wafted inward from the street, came the sound of someone singing, sounding, oh, so clear and sweet.
That's in your inserts, wait a little longer.
Thank you.
Eagerly did Tommy listen as the singing came nearer. Oh, that he could see the singer, how he wished he wasn't lame. Then he called and shouted loudly till the singer heard the sound. And she cautiously came searching, soon the little cripple found. 'Twas a maiden, rough, bedraggled, hair unkempt, and naked feet. All her clothing was torn and ragged, her whole appearance far from neat. "So you called me," said the maiden. "Wonder what you want of me. My folks, most folks, call me Singing Jessie. What might your name chance to be?" "My name is Tommy. I'm a cripple, and I want to hear you sing, for it makes me feel so happy. Sing me something, anything." Jessie laughed and answered, smiling, "I can't stay here very long, but I'll sing a hymn to please you, what I call the glory song."
Forever.
Then she sang to him of heaven, pearly gates and streets of gold, where the happy angel children are not starved or nipped with cold, but where happiness and gladness never can decrease or end, where the kind and loving Jesus is the sovereign and their friend. Oh, how Tommy's eyes did glisten, how he drank in every word as it fell from singing Jesse. Was it true what he had heard? So eagerly he asked her, is there really such a place? And a tear began to trickle down his pallid little face. Tommy, there's a heaven way up above the sky. If you will love the Savior, you will go there when you die. Then said Tommy, tell me, Jesse, how can I the Savior love? When I'm down in this here cellar, and he's up in heaven above? And so the little maiden, who had learned in Sunday school all about the way to heaven and the Christian golden rule, taught the little crippled Tommy how to love and how to pray. Then she sang a song of Jesus, kissed his cheek, and went away. Tommy lay within that cellar, which had grown so dark and cold, thinking all about the children in the streets of shining gold. And he heeded not the darkness. Oh, the joy in Tommy's bosom could outlive the darkest gloom. Oh, if I could only see it, thought the cripple as he lay. Jesse says that Jesus hears me, so I think I'll try to pray. So he put his hands together, and he closed his little eyes, and in accents weak and earnest, sent this message to the skies. Gentle Jesus, please forgive me, as I did not know before, that you cared for our little children who are weak and very poor. And I did not know of heaven till that Jessie came today. She told me all about it, and she told me how to pray. You can see me, can't you, Jesus? Jesse told me that you could, and I somehow must believe it, for it seems so pure and good. And she told me if I loved you, I'll see you when I die, in that bright and happy heaven that is up above the sky. Lord, I'm only just a cripple, and I'm no use here below, for I heard my mother whisper, she'd be so glad if I could go. She doesn't want me here to bother, and I feel so lonesome too. Can't you take me, gentle Jesus, up to heaven along with you? Oh, I'd be so good and patient, and I'd never cry nor fret. And your kindness, gentle Jesus, I would surely not forget. I would love you, all I know of. I would never make a noise. Can't you find me just a corner where I'll watch the other boys? Oh, I think you'll do it, Jesus. Something seems to tell me so. For I feel so glad, so happy, and I do so want to go. How I long to see you, Jesus, and the children all so bright. Come and fetch me, won't you, Jesus? Come and fetch me home tonight. Tommy ceased his supplication. He had told his heart's desire, and he waited for an answer till his head began to tire. Then he turned toward the corner and lay huddled in a heap, closed his eyes so gently, and was quickly fast asleep.
Will be, thank you, Lord.
In the morning, when the mother came to wake her crippled boy, she discovered that his features wore a look of shining joy. And she shook him somewhat roughly, but the crippled's face was cold. He had gone to join the children in the streets of shining gold. Tommy's prayer had soon been answered. The angel Death had come to remove him from the cellar to his bright and heavenly home, where sweet comfort, joy, and gladness never will decrease or end, where the gentle, loving Jesus is his sovereign and his friend.
Oh, you have to know. The next one will be Whisper a Prayer.
Yeah.
God is so good.
Thank you to the program committee for putting this together. I'm sure we are all blessed and encouraged, and it is always appropriate to praise God. As I was reflecting what I share in closing, Psalm 100 came to mind, and then also a memory of 45 years ago, the very first time I remember standing up in front of a congregation and reading Psalm 100. I was 16 years old at the time, was a part of our youth group. We did a Thanksgiving program, and I was extremely shy back then, very reserved, and I don't even know for the life of me how I even consented to read this Psalm 100. I remember my ears were bright red and burning, my heart was just pounding in my chest. So whenever I read this psalm, it takes me back to the first time I stood before a group of people. But it's a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know how beautiful that God's truth, his love, his mercy has been there for many generations, is here with us today, and we rest assured know will continue to be with the future generations until the Lord returns. Amen. At this time, we have a congregational song, please.
Take your blue book and turn to number 19. Praise him, praise him. Number 19, could we stand?
begin, thank you everyone for coming to our worship service this morning, a time of praising the Lord. As I said earlier, you're all invited for a fellowship meal, and it will not be served buffet style. So when the ushers dismiss you, you make your way to the dining room, find a seat. The ushers will direct you there as well, and we will be served. We will have table grace here, and then we'll invite the ushers forward to direct us. So please stay back, enjoy the lunch, enjoy the fellowship with others around the table. Let us pray and ask the blessing on the food. Gracious God, we thank you for being the provider of so many blessings, for salvation so full and so free, for church family, for brothers and sisters in the Lord, Christians, wherever we are, we can have a common denominator that unites us, and that is you, Jesus. You loved us so much. You provided all that we need and above. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that we are anticipating. We thank you for the food that has been provided. We ask your blessing upon the food, upon the hands that have prepared it. May it bless us and nourish us as we continue to serve you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us also bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. I'd like to invite the ushers forward to direct us, please.